Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, along with my boy Mafia, Brian Ciano, running it today. Mr. Freeze, of course, Hayden Fry at LTN. So here's the deal. Tomorrow, you don't want to miss this. Tell your friends, your lover, your neighbor, your backdoor man, your dealer, your bookie, your water guy, whatever it takes, even a garbage man, tell him. In-game live all access, Pharrell and Ranieri, the mayor of Miami, noon to 4 on Saturday, and then Sunday, same thing with Morenci, 1 to 4 for the NFL Pain Day early games, the 1 o'clock East games, 10 West brunch time. Just do not miss these shows. They are lit and kick ass while all the games are going on. We'll see you Saturday and Sunday on In-Game Live All Access on Sports Grid TV. We continue on C2C here with hour number 2, Ma.
And Scott, just to recap something we forgot about, some of those games we talked about already. Gabe Davis is questionable for the Bills, the receiver. And David Montgomery, the running back for the Bears, out for Chicago as they face the Giants. So we'll see how those impact those games as well. Definitely impacting some fantasy teams, especially mine, which hate those Friday reports, but it is what it is. Now we move on to Seattle against Detroit. We've been talking this week. You know, we've had Dan Campbell on. He's always a favorite. He's talking about how the defense has improved. You know, one of those guys that's been a big part of that improvement is, of course, Jeff Okuda, a guy who you liked in the draft. We talked last week, yesterday, about how much better he's become, how, you know, after the injuries, he started to find himself. Well, there is someone who is not very impressed with what Okuda's done so far this year, and that is a guy who's going to face in DK Metcalf out in Seattle.
Jeff Okuda's locked down 3 really good receivers the past 3 weeks. What have you seen from him on film going into this matchup?
There's a safety over the top of him, so he's really not locking people down, but he's a good corner.
He said he's getting safety help, but he's still a good corner. What makes Jeff a good corner, I guess, then?
I guess you got to watch film. And then that's just my opinion. Yeah.
Well, it is what it is. Look, for me, with Okuda, with the injuries that he's had, Mafia, a torn Achilles, you name it, he has come back from all of that and has turned into a lockdown corner. He shut Jefferson down completely. And everyone's always ranting and raving how Jefferson's the greatest receiver in the NFL. No, he isn't. Okay? When you get shut down completely by a guy that hasn't played in 2 years, you're not the best at anything. I don't care what anybody says. You're not better than Devontae Adams. And don't get me started. I could do this all day. Cup. Cup puts up numbers. No one stops him. I saw Jefferson get shut down by this guy, and then I got this guy, Metcalf wants to tell me he sucks in not so many words. We'll find out. You're going to find out the hard way, bruh.
Right, and especially when you're facing him, DK Metcalf, all you had a safety over the top. Well, what do you think is going to happen against you? You think there's anybody else they're really worried about? No, they're shading a safety towards you every play of that game as well. But going into that game, Amon-Ra St. Brown, of course, the great receiver for the Dolphins, for the Detroit Lions, will be out Sunday, ankle injury. DeAndre Swift, the running back, also out. So their offensive weapons are going to be a little shaky it up in this one. We'll see if they can keep it going because they put up some great offensive numbers throughout this season. And now they're going to try to do that again against a Seattle team that is shaking themselves at home. Laying 4 are the Lions, total of 48. With those two big guns out for Detroit on the offense, do you think they can still cover this number?
Well, look, I think that Williams can handle the Swift job, okay? I think Williams has been great finding the end zone. I'll take him on an anytime TD, and I think that the loss of St. Brown definitely takes something away from their passing game. I mean, he's their big target guy. I mean, they throw the ball to him all the time, so everybody else is going to have to do their thing. I think it will have some kind of problem for them at some level in this game. That's a big number, no doubt about it. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, SportsMap, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us on Coast to Coast on a pain-free Friday on Sports Grid TV. Glad you've joined us. All right, Mafia. Yeah, I like the Lions to beat Seattle in Ford Field.
Yeah, I like them, but the defense is definitely going to have to step up because also, you know, DJ Chark and Josh Reynolds, the other wide receivers, also questionable. So Hawkinson's banged up as well. So their offense, everybody's catching the ball for them and running the ball, is a little banged up. We'll see if they can put things together at home against
Seattle. They may not be able to cover the number.
They may not be. That four may be, you know, field goal or less. So we'll see if they can do that on Sunday. And then Monday night, of course, we have a great divisional matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and San Francisco 49ers. These teams know each other well. They're very, you know, up top of the division, need these win both of them right now. A little shaky at times for both teams, so they really need to figure out who they are in week four. And Matt Stafford says it's not that big a deal for them playing on primetime. It doesn't change anything for him, but it is a big deal playing a division opponent like San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a big one. You know, every game in the NFL is a big one. A division game on the road Monday night. It's going to be a, you know, obviously saw them in the NFC Championship game. So it's two really good football teams going at it. Had some great battles last year, and looking forward to the opportunity. You know, they all feel pretty big to me. You know, so but it is, you know, and like you said, a divisional game. It's on the road. Sunday at 1, Monday night. You know, probably used to excite me a little bit more. You know, it's a game that we're playing. It's a big one. It's the next one. So, you know, just excited about the opportunity.
Look, I think, you know, from what I've seen so far, to be honest, I think the Rams are playing better football than the 49ers. I think the Niners have had to adapt to Jimmy G. I thought they looked terrible in Denver. That was embarrassing. If they can't beat the Broncos, I have my druthers whether they can beat the Rams, to be honest with you. I was on the Niners in the 1.5 win at Denver, and I'm not really keen on them right about now with that, you know, after I saw them play that way against the Broncos. The Rams go out and handle their business. They just score and do their thing like normal, so I think they have the edge.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, fans clamor for Dr. Zhivago. Dr. David Chow is from Sports Injury Central, SICScore.com, at Pro Football Doc on social media, and a regular contributor on Coast to Coast and Sports Grid TV, my good friend out in San Diego, Dr. Chow. All right, Dr. Zhivago, let's talk. Let's get down to business here. When you were the Chargers' chief physician, when you were their doctor, and players, even then, that were concussed, how did you handle it? And how do you feel about, because I know they blame you for everything. They're blaming these doctors. They're blaming McDaniel for everything. They're blaming him for the Baltimore game. They're blaming him now for the game last night. And they're blaming his future problems in life on them all. The NFLPA wants to sue everybody. They want the doctors fired, and they want McDaniel to be in all kinds of trouble as well. How would you handle this, and how did you handle it? Because I know you've been accused of everything in your career as a doctor. They, even when you do a great job, they blame you.
Doctors are the long snappers of the world. You only get noticed when something doesn't go right, right? I mean, all the other times, it doesn't matter. And you're right about the blame. Heck, I saw Ravens coach John Harbaugh chime in on the Dolphins. Very unusual, right? And here's the thing. You get blamed no matter what. You get blamed if you take a guy, you put a guy back in. You get blamed if you take a guy out. One time, look, I'm an orthopedist. I was a head team physician. I did not directly rule guys in or out for concussions. I had a primary care guy who did it. This is a true story. He came to me once after taking a guy in the locker room and said, "What do I do?" I said, "What are you talking about?" I told this linebacker that he's out for the game, and I won't mention his name. And he didn't like it, and I think he's about to punch me. And I was like, "Well, if medically he's not out, he's out. I mean, I'll send security in there. Don't worry about it. You got to stand your ground." And it's very difficult. Look, if you clear a guy for a concussion and he has headache symptoms the next day, even though he was clear at the time, that can happen. You get blamed. You clear a guy one play too early and people don't know about it, and you get blamed for pulling a guy. It's a very difficult situation. Look, I'm not trying to defend the Dolphins. I, too, by video on Sunday, thought, oh, wow, Tua's out of the game with that hit, the way he stumbled. I wasn't there to see if it was back or not. He did have a back issue from the first quarter. Let it all play out in terms of what's happening. The good news is he got discharged from the hospital, and he does have a headache today, but it seems like he will be okay.
Yeah, I don't believe that anyone knows that he'll be okay. I think that's a very dangerous ground to say that he's going to be fine because he's alive today and has a slight headache. That, to me, just in itself is a sign that something's not right. And then what about his paralysis with the fingers and the brain, the cranial seizures he was having? Like, he was like this. Like, don't tell me he's okay. I know I'm not suggesting you, but I don't want anyone to tell me he's okay. That guy was not okay, and he wasn't okay in Baltimore. And I'm not blaming anyone. I just know this. I said yesterday on this show, I said, the only way you win the game is to knock him on his ass and see if he can get up, because he took a hit last week. He's not all there. Put him on the ground twice and get Bridgewater in the game. You'll win the game. And that's exactly what happened. Like the 85 Bears, they went after every quarterback every Sunday and tried to kill him. And that's how they won the Super Bowl. And you know it.
Well, there's no question concussions, even one, whether this is a second one in 4 or 5 days or a first one, is a big deal. And that the quarterback posturing or fencing response is abnormal electrical signal. Typically, and let's hope that's the case here, it's very transient and temporary. And typically, there aren't long-term issues from that. Of course, there's CTE issues and other issues, and that we want to be very careful of. And thankfully, nothing with his neck. But, you know, let's just let him get healthy and see what happens and not worry about play of football right this minute.
Let me ask you this question. I think that the NFL should make every single stadium natural grass, sod. When it rips up, you put in new pieces. It gets worse, you put in entire blocks of new grass. I do not understand this AstroTurf they're playing on with the black stones flying out of the turf and getting all over these guys' sweaty arms and legs and helmets, and you've seen it. And how many guys have we seen just buckle up with non-contact, blown-out knees and whatever else? It's obvious to me this is about money. It probably costs $500,000 to lay down that AstroTurf. It probably costs $300,000 to lay down the grass. And then you have to spend another $50,000 to replace it here and there, another $100,000. So by the time you're done, it could be $700,000. But do you understand, for the safety of players, to spend $2, $3 million a year on grass is better than having every guy on the team every year, some two, three, four guys blow out their knees on that crappy AstroTurf. You can't tell me that's not a problem.
We've known for decades that grass is safer. Now, it doesn't prevent ACL tears, but it is in general safer for, let's say, ACL tears. Natural grass is, period, end of discussion. The new field turf is better than the old AstroTurf, but it's still not as good as grass. Grass has had some issues too. Remember down in Houston, because of the pallets and the seams, that Patriots wide receiver tore his ACL on a seam. So nothing's perfect, but in general, yes, indeed, grass is better. One of the problems is because of weather and stadiums, also indoor stadiums, but also the way they construct stadiums now, they're fairly vertical. So there's no sunlight. And so you got to figure out all the dynamics of, you know, switching fields, moving fields in and out, and all those things. Not excuses. I would agree with you, Scott. In general, grass is safer for high ankles and for ACLs, et cetera.
What Premier League team doesn't have natural grass on the pitch and they spend $1 million or $2 million a year on it and it works? And then I also believe they'd have less head trauma if they were playing on natural grass. Will Myles Garrett and famous Jameis be able to go this week? We'll get them in bulk here.
Famous Jameis is listed as doubtful, and you can't spell doubtful without the word out. He will not play. It's only a 1-2% chance statistically when they're listed as doubtful, and he's not going to go. Myles Garrett, look, did you see the car? Yeah, it's just a shoulder and bicep strain, but like, he is beat up. he's got to be a Superman hero in a cape to be able to play and play effectively this weekend.
So, Herbert, the rib. You and I have talked about rib cartilage and broken ribs and the agony that that is. Not only did he look terrible when he hurt it, and they left him in the game with, here's another example of bad decision-making by, you know, Brandon Staley and that team and that and those doctors, honest to Christ. And then they put him back out there last week and they're getting roasted by 30 and the guy's still in a game and he's in agony. He said, I just wanted to do it for my teammates. I don't care what the F you want to do for your teammates. Get him out of the effing game.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been the calculated, more analytic move. Thankfully, he didn't get hurt. And remember, Scott, they also lost their star left tackle, and he was still in the game, putting him in potentially more danger. But I find it interesting that he's not on the injury report, Justin Herbert, and his full practice today. There's no way those ribs aren't still hurting.
How about McCaffrey? It didn't take long for him to be injured this year. I mean, he got that white boy syndrome going.
Well, I don't know about that, but the bottom line is, the crazy thing is, up until 2 years ago, this guy was a workhorse and never injured. Then 2 years in a row, various things. Look, we said it on Wednesday. They might take the careful route here because they don't want to turn a short-term quad into a long-term quad. He was LP today and questionable, but if he plays, I think he's limited in his touches.
I got to tell you, when you think about it, Dr. Chow is the most important guy on the network because all the NFL is injury reports and injuries and who's playing and who isn't. It affects everything. The game, the betting, the fantasy, you name it. There's nothing that we can do without Dr. Shivago. Have a great weekend, Doc.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Or pray. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
I mean, you know, Mafia, no one loves BetMGM more than me. I stopped talking to my family. I don't have time for them when I'm out spreading the word about the BetMGM app and the $1,000 risk-free bet. If they just used the bonus code Coast to Coast, they would all be making all kinds of cheddar. And I mean, look at this. Look at this. Just Coast to Coast, that's all you got to do to get $1,000 risk-free bet. Like, I don't have time to, like, love family members or, you know, spend time with people. I'm just too busy. And then when we do the lion's share, I feel just so happy.
Of course, Scott, how could you not? I mean, the lion's share is just so awesome, so much fun. And I've actually had some microphones. You know, I set up that security system in your house years ago, so I still have the, you know, the access code. I think the only time I've actually heard you, because I watch sometimes, the only time I've heard you talk to your family is when you ask them what their social security numbers were so you can start more MGM accounts in their name. Just That's kidding. True. We don't do that. That's not legal. We don't do that.
It is true that I have all got accounts, even with my little daughter.
Even Boston's got one, or he should.
My dog has one. I just got him one. $1,000 risk all right, free. Well,
of course, the lion's share is where we get into all the prop bets. And as you get ready for NFL Sunday on a Friday show, we got to look through all these games, see where the best props are. We got passing, rushing, receiving, and of course, anytime touchdowns. Let's start to look. And we're going to start it early. We're going to head over the pond to London. Kirk Cousins playing against, of course, the New Orleans Saints in London, 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. 260.5, minus 115 for the over and the under here for his passing yards now. 277. Of course, then the stinker on primetime against the Eagles, 221. And then 260 last week. I don't know. I don't count this as a primetime game when it's, you know, standalone at 9:30 Eastern. I think it's still a regular game for them, regular game time for them, you know, body-wise in London. So I'm going with the over for Kirk Cousins.
So it's 2:30 in London when they play, and they've been over there. And here's the difference. I'm going to use Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst, best advice on the New Orleans Saints. They get no pressure on the quarterback. And the splits between every quarterback that they face when there's no pressure on them, like Baker Mayfield last week beat him, right? You don't get pressure on the quarterback, what's he going to do? Kirk Cousins is going over 260 in London, as sure as I'm sitting here. He's going to have a 300-yard game, and he's going to light them up because they don't put any pressure on the quarterback.
Next up, we're going to stay here, local to New York. Of course, the Giants, we talked about them playing the Bears. And we're going to bring in Danny Nichols. That's right. I'm not calling him Danny Dimes because he doesn't throw those touchdowns. Danny Nichols sitting there at 199.5, minus 110 for the over, minus 120 for the under. I'm going to go under here, Scott. His three games, 188, 176, 196. Been under all three games. I know that the Bears stink offensively, but their defense is still pretty tough, and he has no Sterling Shepard. I'm taking the under.
I like that reasoning. I'm still going to go over because I think the Bears suck, and I think this is a must-win for the Giants because it's the last of the three home games before they go out on a voyage themselves, right? This is a game that they have to capitalize on and win. And they got to do it with Barkley and they got to do it with Jones. And Jones has to start throwing the ball a lot more than he has. You know what Jones has been doing is, you know, he gets out of the pocket, he runs. He's become Josh Allen. He's running the ball all the time. The other night against Dallas, he took off like 10 times. I think he's got to stay in the pocket and throw better passes. I have never seen a guy, we've been watching it for 5 years, overthrow receivers, underthrow receivers, make bad passes wide, left, right. This guy's got to get on target. I still believe, I'll stand here today, again, he's not getting a new deal in New York. He has not done anything to improve over these years. He's just kind of been the same stale piece of bread.
And we'll have to see because, you know, don't forget, Scott, we're talking about the weather. We're going to be talking about that more with the college games coming up. Ian making its second landfall down in the Carolinas. Going to be rainy. Might be windy Sunday. That might be bad for him at Snoopy. We'll see. But going down a little further south, down the I-95 to Philly, Jalen Hurts we're going to throw up there. Of course, having monster numbers this year, 243, 333, 340. His number, 249.5. Over minus 120, under minus 110. I know Jacksonville's defense is good, but I'm still going over.
Yeah, I'm going to go under based on the Jacksonville defense. I think they're going to be all over Hurts. And not only the fact that they're going to get after him, I think they're going to be all over the Eagles receivers. I think it's going to be hard to throw the ball in big chunks in this game with both defenses being as tough and brilliant as they've looked. I mean, that defense from the Jaguars last week, Mafia, was absolutely impenetrable. You could do nothing against them. And I think the only way the Eagles can take advantage of the Jaguars, frankly, for me, is running the ball. They can pound the ball. They're doing a hell of a job doing that. If they can run on the Jags, it'll open up the passing game. I'm going to stay under for Hurts. I think this is going to be a war of attrition.
All right, we'll go out west right now to sunnier places out in Vegas, which we always love. The Vegas Raiders, of course, playing against Denver. Their defense is all that people talked about before Russell Wilson came in, and they only saw the ball that's actually performed this year. Derek Carr, 268.5 is his total, minus 115 over, minus 110 under, 295, 252, 303 for his yardage this year. I don't know, Scott, do you think that defense shuts him down, or do you think he goes over?
I think the Broncos are ass butter. I think that Derek Carr is going off on Sunday at Allegiant. He's going to throw for 350 yards, and the Raiders are going to rock.
All right, back over to Philly, back on the east side. We talked about Hurts, of course, one of his favorite targets, his second target, of course, because A.J. Brown, the big name they brought in, the guy who goes under the radar and has had some awesome performances this year, Devonta Smith. 4.5 receptions over plus 120, so you get some plus value. If you go over under minus 160, he's had 7 and 8 receptions in his last two games.
Oh, I think Smith will have well over 4.5 receptions automatic.
I love that one, too. Then we're going to go back into that game. We're not leaving Philly just yet because another guy who's had a great season so far, a big signing for the Jaguars, was Christian Kirk. People said they were paying him too much money, but he has been awesome so far for them. 59.5 is his receiving yards, minus 115 either way. His stats so far this year, 117, 78, 72. All three games well over.
I see why this number is so low because the Eagles have really the best secondary in the NFL. I think he's going to have a hard time going over the 59 and a hook. I think he'll have under.
He'll have a lot of attention. We'll see if they can slide him down with guys like Slay. And then, of course, well, we're going to mix it up here, these next two, because you think reception, obviously, you think wide receivers. We're going to throw in some of these other guys that get to catch the ball, because right now, for Green Bay, their receivers haven't necessarily, you know, shown up overall with some of these young guys, or they've been hurt. So a guy who's been catching the ball a lot is their running back, Aaron Jones. 24.5 are his reception yards, minus 110 to the over, minus 115 under. He's had 27, 38, and then 11 last week, but that was against a great Tampa Bay defense. Do you think he gets back to the over?
I mean, without a doubt, he's having not only over on the receiving yards, he's going to have over on rushing yards, and he's going to have an anytime TD. He might even score twice.
Of course, I'm at home against the Patriots this week. And now we're going to switch off again to another guy who's not necessarily what you usually look for, but a tight end here, Mark Andrews, the favorite target, of course, for Lamar Jackson. His 5.5 receptions, overs plus 105, under minus 140. He's had 5 against the Jets and then 9 and 8 the last 2 weeks for them.
Yeah, but he's playing the Bills. But look, he's got a shot because the Bills' defense has been fairly toilet paper, certainly against Miami, because they're so banged up. They're like a mash unit. I think he's got a shot at the over for $105.
Well, that's why I went with the receptions, not the reception yards, because the receptions, you can just catch 2 yard passes, little dink and dunks, and those right. add up. So let's go with that one. We'll see.
They do shovel Watching passes props. To him too.
All the time.
Off the snap.
All the time.
They did a touchdown last week. He had the shovel pass touchdown.
Yep. 1 yard catch still counts for him. We'll see. Josh Allen in that same game, 41.5. For rushing yards, we know he loves to rush the ball. 56 yards, 10 yards, and 47 yards in his 3 games so far. And that 10 yards was on 1 run. The other ones were like 8 and 9 rushes per the game.
I have a hard time betting against him doing anything he wants. I'll take the over.
You even heard Harbaugh talk about how good he is as a rusher. Derrick Henry, 70.5 is his number. Of course, going against the Colts, that big matchup between him and Jonathan Taylor. Taylor's number is very high. Henry's is a little more palatable, 70.5. He's had 82 yards, 25, and 85 in his 3 games.
You know, the Colts defense has been very tough. They shut down the Chiefs. I'm going to say under.
Ooh, rare under day for Derrick Henry. We'll see if that comes through. We talked about the running game for the Giants. Saquon Barkley has led the way. His is 79.5, minus 115 to the over, minus 110 to the under. Or if you want to get really crazy, which isn't that crazy considering it's almost 80 yards just rushing, he also has 113.5 combined rushing and receiving yards, since he's going to have to pick up some of that Shepherd slack.
I'm on Barkley going over, to be honest with you. I am not interested in the Chicago Bears in any facet of this football game.
Also running the ball is Ezekiel Elliott, getting things going right now. The Cowboys focusing on that running game since Dak's been out. 56.5 is his number. He's gone just over on one of those games, 52, 53, and then 73 last week. Do you think he gets over again against his bad Washington Commanders team?
No, I think he is that 52, 53 guy now. It's Pollard's team now. Zeke's days are over in terms of being the star in Dallas.
All right, we got a couple anytime touchdowns. We got to get these in quick. Lamar Jackson, plus 140. We know he is all their offense. Do you take him? I mean, how is he still plus money at this point?
I think he'll score.
Michael Pittman of the Indianapolis Colts, plus 155. Their big receiver. Do you think they try to find him down the red zone?
I mean, obviously they're going to try. He's their best player.
All right, and then Justin Fields, plus 260. Going for a little long shot here. Do we think maybe he runs one in? He has a rushing touchdown already this year.
No, the Bears are going to have a nightmare day. Field goals, that's all they're doing.
All right, we'll check on Monday how we did on the line, Cher. All these great prop bets for Sunday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Freeze can't believe the things he's hearing coming out of my mouth. He hasn't heard this stuff on Saturdays and Sundays with bocce ball, that my wife's trying to put antifreeze on my salmon, trying to kill me for insurance money. He doesn't get that stuff on the weekends. There's too many games going on. He's like, wow, this stuff's happening on the show on a Friday. He's talking about his wife trying to kill him. And I'm like, yeah, That's exactly what's happening here, Mr. Freeze. All right, Mafia, you know that she's been trying to kill me for years. So this is
Oh, of course. She's even tried to collude with me somehow, you know. But, you know, Scott, I'm sure you're just not even talking during breaks on Saturdays. There's so much action. You're putting in those bets on the BetMGM app. So we got to get through this. We got to get to Saturday. So let's finish up Sunday. Before we get to that, just some remaining headlines. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, the team owners, have pledged to donate to the relief efforts for the Hurricane Ian. I think
isn't
Brett Favre then called him and asked him how to get some of those funds for a water polo facility at Southern Miss. Speaking of Brett Favre, Abby Wambach is getting out of a company that she's involved in, a drug company that apparently is working on, you know, a cure for, or not a cure, but drugs for concussions, because Brett Favre is the biggest owner of it. So she's getting the hell out of there and getting the hell away from him, as many people are doing now. As you mentioned with Doc, Michael Thomas is out Sunday versus Minnesota. Jameis Winston questionable, a.k.a. not really going to play. Delvin Cook is good to go, though, for that London game. And then for Arizona, A.J. Green out. And Marquise Brown, Rondell Moore, both questionable. So their receiving corps is banged up. And then what a surprise, what we see every week, J.J. Watt, questionable for the Cardinals. Michael Gallup for Cowboys is set to make his debut. And he'll make that debut through some of these games we're going to talk about right now. We have the rest of the slate, the games that we haven't talked about yet. First up, we got Minnesota, New Orleans, as we mentioned, in London. Minnesota laying 3.5. 41.5 is the total there. Jets and Pittsburgh. Your Steelers are laying 3.5 at home with 41.5 the total again. Washington and Dallas. Dallas laying 3 with 41.5 as the total. And then Indy laying 3.5. You're seeing a trend here with Tennessee, 43 the total in that one.
Well, look, these games, I think the Vikings should be able to beat the Saints. I mean, if Cousins, you know, isn't in prime time, he's generally able to light it up. And they got talent, so I think the Vikings beat the Saints. And then let me look at those other games again. I think the Colts game is really hard to gauge. I think the Colts defense is tough. I think they, you know, beat the Chiefs. Now people are going to buy into them. I think that number might be the burner right there with that hook, to be honest with you. I think the Steelers win. They've had 10 days off. And I think Dallas handles Washington. I think Washington looks to me to be one of the worst teams in the league.
All right, those last games that we haven't covered as of yet, we have the Chargers against Houston. Chargers are laying 6, 45 is the total at this point. We'll see what happens, you know, if things change, of course, with the quarterback situation with Herbert's ribs. Carolina laying 1 against Arizona at home, 43.5 is the total. You have the Rams laying, the Raiders laying 2.5 against Denver, 45.5 total. And Tampa laying 1 at home against Kansas City. Of course, that one's still in Tampa Bay, despite Ian. They're keeping it there in the Tampa Bay area since they were spared some of the damage that went down south in Florida. What do you feel about these games?
Well, I actually, you know, the top and bottom one, I want nothing to do with the Chargers after I bet on them last week against Jacksonville. I'm done with them. I won't even go near that. I might get a rash. And then the Bucs, how is Tom Brady going to lose 2 in a row at Raymond James? I just don't see it. I know their offense is in shambles. They've got to figure that out. I know all week they've had to deal with all this Ian stuff and everything else. I don't think that makes it any easier on the Chiefs. To me, the Chiefs look terrible in Indianapolis. Don't forget that. I'm on the Raiders, and I think Arizona's got a shot in Carolina, although the bottom line is that Carolina has had their number in the past.
All right, a lot of action to get involved with Sunday. But, of course, before that comes Saturday. Comes all the college football action. So much going on there. Before we get out of NFL, though, we got to pay our respects. Former Cowboys tight end Gavin Escobar dies in a rock climbing accident at 31. So sorry for your loss to his family and the Cowboys family in general. Now we move on to college, where, as we said, got started off kind of last night, actually. Some great games. You had the South Carolina State game, which was terrible, as you expected, 50-10. Did not cover, though. You're worried about that one, and that one does not end up as a cover. BYU then played Utah State and beat them 38-26. Back-and-forth game in the first half that ended up tied at halftime, and then BYU comes out, gets a touchdown just into the second half and kind of takes control from there before Utah State gets a late touchdown. So 38-26, BYU gets that game. And now tonight, we have even more action. So why don't we check out some of those numbers for a loaded slate. You got Tulane versus Houston, where Houston's laying 4.5 in this one. You got UTSA versus Middle Tennessee State, 4.5 again there, total of 64. San Diego State's at Boise State, where on the blue carpet, the Boise State is laying 6.5, 38.5 total. Washington laying 3 versus UCLA on the road, 65.5. And New Mexico versus UNLV, with UNLV laying 14 at home, 44 is the total there.
And first of all, let's go back because, you know, the world I was living in, that was a 39 and a hook spread with South Carolina State. So 50 to 10, they covered by a hook. Bottom line is, before that game, I saw it 39 and a hook. So they did not, South Carolina State cover that number. And then we know Utah State did cover the number. They got the late touchdown. It wouldn't have mattered. They wouldn't have covered that number anyway. Even if they scored another touchdown, they would have failed to cover by a hook in that game as well. But needless to say, it ended as it did, and they didn't cover. Now, look, Tulane's 3-1. They're on the road in Houston. Houston is not, in my view, they've had an overtime, double overtime win, but they have not played well for Holgorsen this year. I think they play much better tonight at home. Middle Tennessee State, look, they beat Miami in Hard Rock in Miami. And not only did they beat them, they beat their ass. And you're going to tell me they can't handle getting 4 and a hook in Murfreesboro against Texas San Antonio? Look, I think Texas San Antonio is a really good team. I love the over in that game. San Diego State and Boise. Boise laying that kind of wood is dangerous to me because Boise has looked like dog shack this year. They are not good. Do not be fooled by Boise State. They have been costing bettors now for 3 weeks. And look, Washington, it's their first road game, Mafia. All their wins have come in Husky Stadium. Now they're on the streets with their bags packed. I think tonight they got their hands full at the Rose Bowl. And then UNLV should beat New Mexico. I got a sneaking suspicion, though, that number at 14 and a hook is the, you know, devil's kiss. Be careful there because – when you start laying 2 touchdowns with UNLV, it's a dangerous way of making a living, boy.
And you know, your boy Lisi, lover of Chip Kelly in UCLA, he's been, you know, banging that drum before the season even started and all throughout. So I'm sure he is on them tonight as well. Now we move ahead to Saturday. Let's talk about some of the big games. We got some sound from some of these coaches getting ready to match up and some awesome matchups. First of all, Alabama and Arkansas, great battle here. You know, two great teams. Arkansas's defense has been incredible for them this year. Let's listen to Arkansas coach Sam Pittman because he talks about the great respect he has for Nick Saban, and he doesn't know when he's going to quit either.
And I think he's fantastic. He's been so kind and so good to me. I sat right next to him in the SEC head coaches meetings, and I asked him questions, and he's been kind enough to answer them, and he's treated me outstanding, and I have nothing but wonderful things to say about him. And you know, he's the greatest coach of all time and in college football, in my opinion. And so, but yeah, I kind of was wondering when he's gonna retire too, you know, but I don't know when that's gonna come. And
I love that guy Pittman, and he drinks lots of beer. God bless him. I still think they're going to get bent over, though. They always do. They have never played well against Alabama. I want no part of a big matchup, though, frankly, of ranked teams with a number that big. I want no part of it. I will not be getting engaged in that game. But if I had to, if Mafia had me tied up with duct tape and a gun in my mouth, I'd probably lay it with Alabama.
Yeah, 17 is the number. Arkansas, a big home dog here, getting 17. 60 and a half is the total. Interesting, Pittman actually said, also talked about how he was offered a job by Saban when he first got to Arkansas as the offensive line coach. Like 4 or 5 weeks later, Saban called him, wanted to bring him to his staff. But he said, listen, I just got here. I just talked about being loyal. My mom's, you know, taught me to be loyal. I can't leave. So now it's worked out pretty well for him as he's leading Arkansas and having a great season as they match up against the Alabama Crimson Tide. Also a great game this week, Kentucky versus Ole Miss. And, of course, there's been a lot of talk by Lane Kiffin about his home crowd so far, and he continued to go in on them this week.
You know, when you come back out and you run out the tunnel and it looks like, you know, a high school game.
That looks like a NASCAR driving suit.
College stadium, you can't let that affect you. I mean, there's psychology to that, obviously. There's a home field advantage for a reason. And, you know, when it goes the other way, you kind of have that feeling, you know,
not good for you, Mom,
man, are we still really playing in a game here? You know, the players have to fight that. So, again, we use that as a learning lesson for our guys. So, if that's the case, that's the case. But, I mean, I'm worried about what I can control. I've tried social media in here for 2 years. So, you know, we'll worry about what we can control, and that's getting our players ready to play.
Wow, it sounds like his players are stupid. from what he just said right there, that none of them are smart enough to catch on. That might be a reason to take Kentucky in the points.
Especially if the fans don't show up, you don't get that home field advantage. Although, you know, if you want to cry about the fans not showing up, maybe you shouldn't schedule Troy and Central Arkansas to open up your season at home. Just saying, you know, maybe they don't want to go to those games. I'd rather drink in the parking lot too.
Listen, they don't have a parking lot. They got the Grove. And when you drink at the Grove, it's a hard walk to that stadium when you've had 75 cocktails and a bunch of jambalaya. Believe me, you, they party there like no other. Hottie toddy. I mean, there's people having sex under trees. Are we on the air? We are? Don't talk about sex on the – no? All right.
They are the favorites for this game, but it's come down a little bit since we got ready for the show. Dropped down. It was 7, now 6.5. So just under that touchdown threshold, 54.5 is the total. Can Kentucky continue this great season they had and pull the upset on the road?
I think they're going to give them a game. It's too many points to give Kentucky. They're too good. They got a great quarterback, great coach, great staff. This is a team built for success. I think Ole Miss is exciting, but they got their hands full tomorrow down in Oxford.
They certainly do have their hands full, and Ole Miss have playing defense too. That's been a big key for them. You didn't really see that with most Lane Kiffin teams, but they are shutting teams down. We'll see if they do that against Kentucky. Somebody that's shutting it down right now and is going to shut down this show maybe is Dave Aranda, because his team is awesome. They are playing in a big game this weekend themselves, of course, playing against Oklahoma State. But listen to this clip. He gives you about the excitement of a TV televangelist.
Here we go. The challenge is always to keep the focus inward and to really get kids to be able to believe and trust and to reveal what they got inside. And I thought there's a lot of that on Saturday for us, and you know, we're gonna have to be able to take another step. I think it's always difficult when you try to be able to
heard more excitement from Bob Ross painting.
Hey, this is what it's supposed to be. But yeah, there's so many layers to that. There's so many things
that
have
to
be.
Interview.
You know, this is
awful.
Not connecting. This is wired
right.
to something else, and
us,
we've got to reconnect, and we've got to rebuild a trust, and we have to be able to have people come out and really perform in a way that they're not trying to pretend anymore. And I think I'm hopeful that we're on the right path.
When is this
going to
end? When is this going to end? I mean, honest to Christ, that was the worst thing that's happened to me in 7 days. Right there, that was it. And they hit for me last week in Ames with the 2.5. God bless them. I was willing to lay the 2 with Baylor this week. I'm starting to have reservations, though, after that. What was that? Was that a touchdown club luncheon? That was the worst.
That was a press conference. Imagine what bedtime stories are like with that guy for his kids.
Pass that cocktail sauce, and can I get another drink? Bartender.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can feel it, right? I mean, can you feel it? It's time for the Sharp Report.
So far this season, the Baltimore Ravens have played 3 defenses that do not play 2 high safety shells almost whatsoever. The Jets, Dolphins, and the New England Patriots, none of these teams are playing a lot of 2 high safety shells. Also, these teams bring pressure at a pretty high rate, and Lamar Jackson has absolutely destroyed pressure so far this season. Lamar Jackson against the blitz is not only the number one quarterback in the NFL so far this season from a passing perspective, but if the season ended today, he would be the best in the last decade in terms of quarterback performance against the blitz, granted, obviously, an extremely small sample size. The point being, he's been great against the blitz, and teams have been blitzing him, and he has not faced a lot of cover 2 shells. Now, he's going up against the Buffalo Bills, a team that's completely opposite of what he's played so far this season. The Buffalo Bills sit back in 2 high safety shells at the highest rate of any team in the NFL, and they blitz at the lowest rate of any team in the NFL. In addition, they bring pressure without blitzing at the second highest rate in the NFL. So Lamar Jackson is not going to be facing blitz pressure, but he's going to be facing a ton of pressure in general. It's going to be interesting to see how he fares against it. On the flip side, I'm looking at a Buffalo Bills offense here that absolutely has been more efficient this year with Ken Dorsey calling plays than it was with Brian Daboll calling plays. However, this offense is not as explosive and scoring as quickly as they once did. And as a result, this team is having fewer drives and scoring fewer total points in the first half of games, even though they're a more efficient offense and are punting less. So I'm really interested to see this massive game, Bills versus the Baltimore Ravens. Who is going to come out on top against some playing styles that one another have not faced very much this season?
Well, there he is, Warren Sharp, the one and only.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.